Again, we are on page 40. We're on page 40. The very last line on the page in the Mechaber upstairs. So again, we started this yesterday, but just to get a running start. Vav, im asa mitzemer gozel. Let's say you made the strings of the tzitzis out of stolen wool. Now again, we started discussing that yesterday, but we'll get into it a little more. So then psulim. So then the tzitzis are pasul. Why? Oops. Because, sorry, I'm having a little technical issues here. Because the pasuk says v'asu lahem mishelahem, because the tzitzis have to be yours. They have to be yours. Now, again, as we saw, well, let's see, the Ramah says, the dafka, when we say the previous statement by the Mechaber, that it's the Mechaber said that if you made them out of wool that is stolen. So again, what is that speaking about? So the Ramah explains, v'dafka shegazal chutim. Again, you went to Meisharim and you went to a store and you stole the tzitzis. You stole the strings. Aval im gazal tzemer v'asam chutin, but if you actually stole wool from the sheep, I mean, you didn't go up to a sheep and stick them up, but right, you stole the sheep, you stole the wool, excuse me, v'asam chutin, you made them into, you processed that wool and made it into strings for tzitzis ksherim. They are kosher. So this is what we spoke about yesterday. Very long Mishnah Berurah Chav Tes. Excuse me, Lamed, ksherim. Maybe got halfway through it, but where we discussed the important, complicated issue of if someone was ill-begotten, if someone stole something. So again, we're not advocating buying stolen goods, but at a certain point, the object is transferred. Now, again, one important concept which you see throughout Shas is Yeush. Yeush means somebody gives up. Now again, we also talk about it in a Musar, if a person gives up, it's a terrible thing. The Rosh Yeshiva had Shmuzim on that. It's one of the most powerful weapons of the Yetzer Hara. A person just gives up. We know that physically, right? If somebody read a study once about that. Medically, once a person gives up, then, forget it. There's nothing they could really do. But here we're talking about it in a technical sense. In other words, that someone lost or was stolen from something, lost possession of something. So at a certain point, they're miyayish. I give up hope, you're never going to get it back. Right? So yeah, you hear these stories, I'm all, something was returned after 45 years. How often does that happen? Makes headlines because it doesn't happen. But at a certain point, I bought a new one already. I replaced it. So that's a very important ingredient in acquisition. Acquisition, again, we're not talking about legal acquisition. But again, we're talking about legal acquisition as far as someone down the road from the thief acquired this object. Right, he bought it from the thief, or bought it from somebody who bought it from the thief. So then at a certain point, it's the buyers. Again, not to condone buying fenced objects. But again, just as far as technicality is concerned. And then we saw yesterday, so that's one important point, about Shinoi Shem Shinoi Maisa, about changing, the person stole something, Reuven stole something, but then someone, either Reuven or Shimon or someone, changed it. This would be a great example. Wool was stolen, and now it's not wool anymore. Somebody, either Reuven or Shimon or somebody, took it, processed it, made it into strings, made it into threads. So again, it's a different name. It's not wool anymore. It's now strings or threads. Or again, at the end of yesterday, we were talking about shinui ma'isa, that it's a different thing. You did an action to it. Now this gets a little more complicated because there's a whole big, which I don't really want to get into right now. There's a whole big machlokas rishonim, Rambam against others, about when we say you did an action to change something. Let's say the wool was stolen, and then it was changed and made into threads or whatever, made into something. So again, now don't forget, we're talking about wool and tzitzis. But of course, these concepts apply to anything that was stolen. So at a certain point, right? You can understand this. So Yisachar, right? Talking about the Shvatim this week is very appropriate, right? So. Right, eight people down the road, somebody bought it. Right, so now somebody realizes, no, it's stolen. So now the original owner is coming saying, "I want that object back. It was stolen from me." Right, you know, like he didn't do anything wrong. Yisachar didn't do anything wrong. Now, so again, at a certain point, again, not to advocate or condone it, but at a certain point, this object becomes Yisachar's. Now again, if the original owner, Yaakov, whoever it is, was miyayish, that's one thing. But to concretize that, yiyush plus another ingredient, let's say changing it. Say like this case. So again, like I was saying before, the Rambam holds that it depends on what kind of action you did or what kind of change you made. Did you make a change maybe that it could be reverted back? It could be changed back to what it was originally. Right? Like, we can imagine this. Like, not all actions are equal. Like, this gets very involved. So I don't want to do it too, because we're learning halacha. But let's say I took water and I made it into ice. Okay, it's a different name. It's not water, it's ice. But, and I change it. But it's easy to revert it back. Right? It's not too hard. That's right, but still, you know. Again, so, now, again, I don't want to say this again, but think about in the old days when, right, Klal Yisrael made the Givonim Shoev Emaim, Kot Ve'etzim Shoev Emaim, right? People, or last week's Parsha, this week's Parsha, you know, Rivka goes and fetches water. We don't appreciate it, right? We turn, K'nai Nahara, turn our tap and get water. It was such a hassle for hundreds, thousands of years. Get water. Okay, or just Am Yisrael in the Midbar had it good, but you know, like, I mean, right? But, you know, we don't appreciate it. But to get water, a big hassle. So you can imagine somebody stole water. Somebody fetched the water and left it outside the door, and then somebody comes along and steals it. Right? So, and then they sell it to somebody else. Right? So again, that's exactly what the Mishnah Berurah goes through.
So the halacha is different from the person who stole it vis-a-vis people who get it later down the line? Or is it the same?
Correct. Right. Right, because a shinui reshus also. If you change, I want to say domains, ownership, place, right? Okay, so Shimon stole it, but it went over to Levi, our owner. Now, the Mishnah Berurah comes out that v'im nisyashu ve'achar kach machron. Let's say the original owner Yaakov, who the wool, right, Yaakov has a lot of wool, lashi. So it was stolen from him, and he was miyayish. Right, this is something also. I think we touched upon a little yesterday. Like the Gemara discusses, when does the yush have to occur? Right, that's what I'm learning with in Eilu Mitzvos with Shua Prangler about Yehush Shalomidas. Let's say if he doesn't know he lost it, but if when he finds out he lost it, would he give up? I don't know, like you lost your wallet, Chas V'Shalom. Well, right, you lost your wallet. So maybe you'll find it, but you know, like after a couple of days, it ain't coming back. I mean, maybe somebody will call it. But again, that's very important here. Let's say the person whom was stolen from was Meyayesh, gave up. And then the thief, after the original owner gave up hope, was Meyayesh. After that, the thief, Reuven, sold it to Shimon. So the Mishnah Berurah says, Kana Sheni Atzatzis. So then the second person was acquired it, Shimon, acquired the tzitzis, because of Yeush and also Shinu Rishus. Now then the Mishnah Berurah says something very important. And that is, how about as far as the bracha is concerned? Now again, we're talking about a case where, I don't know, Shimon knows they're stolen, or, right? You know, if Shimon didn't know they're stolen and thought Reuven's a nice guy and he bought tzitzis, oh, these are nice tzitzis, I'll buy them from you. Yeah, no, you know, we're not holding him responsible for something that was beyond his control to know about. But let's say, for as far as a bracha is concerned, so the Mishnah Berurah brings down the Magen Avraham and Tafresh Mem Tes Sivkot and Base, that the Magen Avraham says you could make a bracha. Now again, I think one of you mentioned yesterday, how about Mitzvah Abba Be'Aveira, right? We don't like people doing an Aveira in order to perform a mitzvah, right? It doesn't make too much sense, and it's wrong. So the Mishnah Berurah says a very interesting idea. He said, in this case, it would be okay, because again, the case we're talking about is Reuven stole the tzitzis, he sold them to Shimon. Okay? When he sold them to Shimon, Yaakov, the original owner of the sheep, had already given up recovering it. So there was Yeush, and then the sale took place, Shinu Rishus. So now we said that definitely Shimon legally owns it. So now the question is, could he make a bracha? So the Magen Avraham says he could make a bracha. It was ill-begotten gains, right? So the Magen Avraham says it wasn't ill-begotten because Shimon didn't steal it. Shimon didn't steal it.
So Reuven would not have
been able to. Reuven, yeah. Well, Reuven has a lot of other problems. But, and that's what the Maksah Shekel says. But the Prima Gadin brings down the Levush, who is Machmir. And also the Mishnah Berurah brings down the Taz and the Vilna Gaon, who are Machmir. He says that you shouldn't make a bracha because it's a bracha, it's a mitzvah of Avera. It's right, it's not. So again, it's a little complicated because did Shimon know? Does Shimon not know? Okay, so Shimon didn't steal it, but he bought stolen goods. Well, again, he didn't know at the time, so it's not his fault. Yeah, so...
So that means we have to be choshesh that whatever we're buying could potentially just...
No, I don't think so. I don't think you have to worry about that, because it also drives you crazy.
Yeah, so Shimon can right. Make brachas then without concern because he thinks it's...
Well, it's a machlokas. It's a machlokas. Right. And that's what the Ramah says. The Ramah says... Okay. Now, I think we talked about the Bir Halacha discusses an interesting case. That is, what happens if you bought tzitzis on credit? Or let's say even not on credit, right? You know, sometimes, you know, we live in a Hamish society with from people. So like I was mentioning a couple of days ago, like you buy matzahs, so I don't know, I know the guy who sells the matzahs, and you know, we were friends for many years. You know, so I get the matzahs, and if I paid him, did I not pay him? You know, like, he knows I'm good, well, he thinks I'm good for the money. right, you know, that's what we call Ava Makalko, so sure, he's a very good friend of mine, so, you know, it's a mistake. So does that work? Now, again, this happens very often. Now, again, we have this case by tzitzis, but again, we could apply it to other cases all over the place. Now, again, a good example would be matzah. You buy matzah, I don't know, I trust you. So, again, there's two issues. I owe the person we get the matzahs from, and you owe me, right? You owe the shul. So, again, so it's very interesting. Um, So the Mishnah Berurah, the Berurah Halacha, see, there's another caveat here. And that is the person coming after you for payment. See, a lot of times you can assume the person's mochel, they don't mind. So, you know, but let's say he called already once, you know, like, I have to pay my people. So, you know, like, so then if you don't pay, it could be a big problem. Even though you made a kinyan, even though, right, you picked up the matzahs and walked out, or you picked up the tzitzis and walked out. But still, again, and people don't realize, this is a big problem that people should be aware of, that if you can, again, technically the person's usually mochel. The person who sells me the matzahs, I spoke to his son who helps him, and he said his father is always, before the Seder starts, he says, I'm mochel anybody who didn't pay me. I don't think you should rely upon that, you know? But again, it's anything of mitzvah, right? Again, a lot of times you know the person who owns the store or something like that. It's not so posh.
What happens if you buy something with a check and the check is stolen from the person you bought it from? Are you obligated? Remember a few years ago, Rabbi Furst, and he sold Abba Meaning? All the money was stolen, all the cash and checks.
I was trying to figure out how's your check stolen. In other words, if the payment to him is stolen.
And then they ask everybody to replace the checks.
So
if you don't replace the
check, I'm sure he was mochel, you know. But again, yeah, you should, in general, you should make sure it's paid for.
They never told me.
Huh?
They didn't want to get
it. Right, but I'm saying the family or whoever was in charge. Okay, now let's go on to Zion. We're running out of time. We only have another couple minutes. But again, very important case, and I'm sure you'll all figure out why. Chutim she'ulim. Let's say this: you borrowed the strings. You borrowed tzitzis strings. Halvahi, so it's a loan. D'lo hadre be'enayhu uchdi de'domi. You're not going to return back those strings. And therefore it's considered yours. In other words, when you borrow certain things, it's understood you're not going to return that exact same thing. Right? Classic case. Money. Right? If you borrow money, nobody expects you to return that money. I want my money back, but right? So here, again, it's not the same thing, but it is the same thing. In other words, normally, and the Mishnah Berurah says this, when I say I'm lending you something, except for money, that means you're going to return me that object. You borrow my shovel, you borrow my lawnmower, right? You got to give me back that lawnmower, right? I don't want a different lawnmower, I want that lawnmower. Because that's my lawnmower. So, therefore, if you say shoel means you're a borrower. You're borrowing it to use. So usually that means you have to return that object as is. That object. Halva'a, if you're loves something, that sounds like, for example, like money. Halva'a, that's a different word. Halva'a means you could return me. You don't have to return me that thing, that exact object that I lent you. You can return me something as long as it's similar. So now the question is, over here by this tzitzis strings. So the halacha says that halvahi, it's a halva. It's not a she'ela, it's a halva. And that means the lo hadre beinayu, you don't have to return back those exact strings. And therefore it's considered like yours, and therefore again we said that tzitzis have to be yours. That was the previous halacha. So now the same thing, not by theft, but now let's use the same concept by borrowing. So you borrow the tzitzis. So now, again, so you take the tzitzis, you know, you unravel them, and you attach it to your talis, your four-corner garment. So now I lent them to you. Do I expect them back? You're going to take it off. Unravel them, give them back to me. First of all, I don't know, the Mishnah doesn't say this. I would assume I wouldn't want them back because they're all crunkled and everything. You know, give me back, you know, like, give me the same thing, you know, Kofel Shmona and Mavos Yad and all of them, and all that type of stuff. But, you know. So therefore, that would be like yours, and that would not be a problem. I know what you're going to ask. Let's say I lent you the strings, and I said, I want those back for whatever reason. So it will be that case. And then, of course, and then another issue would be, how about if I gave you tzitzis, like, you know, our tzitzis aren't like strings, regular strings. You know, our tzitzis, you can tell they're made for tzitzis. So how about if I lent you that? And then, of course, the big case that we got to talk about is if you borrowed a talus, you're borrowing the tzitzis. So, for example, a shul talus. So is it yours? Now the question would be, is it yours? You can make a bracha, but again, ooh, we're way over time. So I'm over Baltosa. We'll talk about this, but lean that there. Tomorrow.